Welcome the mothers. And that means the spiritual mothers, means the physical mothers. It means those that give their lives every day for the people around them. I have a great privilege today of having my physical mother here from Johannesburg, so it's really special for me. But we want to do something this morning. We want to honor the mums, okay? And when I say the spiritual mums, I mean that. You know, each and every one of us, I'm not going to go through the names of the very strong spiritual mums in our church because I might forget someone and hurt someone's feelings, so I'm not going to particularly point them out. But I do, Joe's going to be very kind and bless us with a song that the Lord's put on her heart for us. But before we do that, I'm waiting on the little surprise, but okay, that'll come after, I think.
The surprise?
Okay. to Joe, yeah. No. Okay, I think Joe can bless us with a song. If you can just close your eyes, enjoy the song. I know that the Lord has led her to the song, so please enjoy it. I know it is a secular song, but I believe it's very anointed. Okay, thanks. I don't know if I should have warned you, today is going to be a tent issue service. Joe and I felt in our hearts that for all those mothers that think they're going unnoticed, the song's to you. You know, a mother is the greatest calling. And this song's to each of you. We know the hurt. We know what you go through. And this is to honor you, to say thank you. I know I have my own mother, and I know what I've put her through as a daughter. I remember trying to shop for my matric dance dress. Oh, my goodness, the poor woman. I think she fasted for a week. But, you know, some of the greatest men honored their mothers. They gave their mothers all the credit for where they got to in life. I actually got some here. I'm actually going to put them up. We are going to minister to the moms in a sec, so please don't go away, Joe. Men like Napoleon, men like Abraham Lincoln, men like George Washington. As a Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Tell you what, my mother prayed me into the kingdom of heaven. I think I've put up, this is a picture about Woodrow Wilson. Does anybody know where Mother's Day came from? Woodrow Wilson introduced Mother's Day in 1914. The 9th of May 1914 was the first Mother's Day. And he announced it to all of America for a day to say thank you to moms. Isn't that lovely? And man, it's not a religious day, but it's definitely a day that God ordains because he says honor your parents. So today we're going to honor them. We're going to thank them. So I actually would like all the moms to come up. We are going to embarrass you as well. Add insult to injury. Guys, it is such a privilege and an honor, God, to raise this beautiful woman before your throne. Lord, to speak blessing over them this day, Lord. May they be blessed in their coming and they may be blessed in their going. May their early morning hours be so fresh, Lord. May they see your glory in everything they see, even this day and from every day forth, Lord. Lord, may they see the beauty in their eyes, Lord. May they see, Lord God, the things that they pray for come to pass, Lord God, as they pray for their children, for their families, for this country, Lord. Lord, only you know the hearts that you've given these mothers. The hearts they have for their children and for their families, God, I thank you that you would bless those hearts today, Lord, that there would be gladness, there would be peace, and there would be refreshment, Lord. I pray, Lord God, even today as they're in the service, that they would be refreshed, that you would pour out, Lord God, upon them your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. If anyone has a word for their mums, or if you want to pray, please come up. Anybody? Okay.
God has a plan for our lives. And you just do your part, and God will do the rest. And Hannah has something that she wants to say.
My mom wasn't here today, so I just want to I want to thank my grandma that she is here for me. And I want to say that it's a special day for all the moms that are here today because it's Mother's Day. And fathers, don't you get angry because it's Father's Day next week. And I hope you enjoy the song. We love you all.
Our Lord and Savior. Lord, you said, don't let little children go away from me, but bring them into me. And this morning, Almighty God, as we bring these little children before you, we praise you and we thank you for every seed that's planted in their hearts. We thank you, Almighty God, that the holy angels are encamping around each one of them. We thank you, Almighty God, that we shall see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Father God, that even in this age, in their school, Father, they will minister to other children. They will be the light wherever you lead them, wherever you guide them. Father, we thank you for every child in this place right now. And we thank you, Father God, for the parents that have brought up these children in the fear of God. Lord, you guide them, you direct them, as you cover them by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father.
Amen. See why I came to know the Lord. Bless you guys, you can go. And how I came about it, I'll share in a minute. But the story is about a mother. It's a mother who had a very desperate desire for her daughter. The reading is from Matthew 15:21. If we can just put it up on the presentation. I believe this mother provides a key for each of us that come to the Lord seeking Him for something that this heart's desire, something that burdens us. This is a story about a mother with a burden. And if you have a burden this morning, if you're a mother this morning with a child, I believe that the story will bless you. I know it did me as I read it. The title of the sermon is called Not Too Proud, but if we can go to Matthew. If you can turn with me, otherwise you can read up on the screen. I did choose the NIV version. All right, I'm going to read from 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly with demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Men, have you read the story before? Have you wondered about the story before? Has the story confounded you a little bit? I know it did me when I first read it. You see here a woman, a burdened woman. She brought before the Lord Jesus Christ her plight. Her daughter was demon-possessed. But as this story says, this woman had some serious complications. She came to the Lord with this burden, this desire, but there were some serious complications. So I'd like to just outline a few things today. This woman, the Bible says, was a Canaanite woman in verse 22. She was, as they've said up there, logistically, can you just put out the outline for me? She was a burdened woman, but she was logistically outcast. The Bible says here, a Canaanite woman. Now, in some Bibles it says a Phoenician, a Syrian Phoenician. I did some research, and that is actually a Greek woman. For those of you that might know, because of that time, that region was Greek, so she actually was a Greek woman, so I quite relate to her as well. She was a mother, first and foremost, but she was a Canaanite. And for those of you that don't know about the Canaanites at the time, the Canaanites were no friends of Israel. They were actually considered Israel's enemy. They were considered heathens, idolaters. They were actually outside of God's blessing. You actually won't find the Canaanites mentioned almost anywhere else in the New Testament except here. And you actually see that when in Genesis 9:25, Noah's son Ham was actually cursed as the father of the Canaanites. Okay, just some background. I'm sure most of you know that, sitting under Henny's teaching for many years. So I just needed you to understand that. But this woman was, she knew her position. She knew she was an outcast. She knew she was from the wrong side of the tracks. She knew this, and yet she still came because she had this burden. Okay, so I just want to establish a little bit of background about this woman, who she is and what she faced. Okay, so can I read from Genesis 9:25? It says, may Canaan be cursed, may he be the lowest of servants to his relatives. This is how the followers of Jesus perceived this woman as she came, the lowest of servants. Simply put, the woman of Canaan was a logistical outcast because she did not belong. She was a pagan, a heathen, and an idolater whose worship consisted of gods like Baal, Astarte, and Asheroth. She was a Gentile and an outcast. But more than that, she was also spiritually downcast. You see, she had this need that she knew her gods, the gods of stone that she worshipped, could not help her. She had come to the realization that she needed the only true Savior. She had to turn her back on the gods that she served. Now, I need you to understand something. At this time of Jesus' ministry, it was very unusual even for the Jews to turn to him. Okay, you understand that this was early in the ministry, and it was very unusual for even the Jews. For a Gentile to turn to him, to call him Lord, and to come to him for their needs was virtually unheard of. Okay, so this woman, to come to Jesus, would have to turn her back on her people. She would actually be an outcast amongst her very own people. She risked everything to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and fall at his feet and ask for this need for her daughter. All right, so I'm just creating some background understanding here. So she was logistically outcast, but also spiritually downcast. Okay. So her own beliefs forbade her to worship the only true one. And she would actually be charged for acts of treason amongst her own people. And so I just want to read from number 22. It says, verse 22, a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. My dad had pointed something out to me. The word they cried out to the Lord there, it's a Greek word, and it's krazo, and it means to wail. It doesn't mean just to cry out as in, like the whimpering or whining. It's not that kind of a word. It's more like wailing, more like clamoring and wailing. Okay, so this woman comes, she puts aside knowing that she's an outcast, knowing that she's considered the lowest of servants. She comes knowing that she will be turned away by her own people, knowing that she's turning her back on everything she grew up knowing. Okay, but more than that, she puts aside her own inhibitions, more than inhibitions, her own reputation, and she comes out wailing before the Lord. Okay? So, in other words, not only is it quite rare for a Jew of this time to come to Jesus, but for a pagan idolatress, a Canaanite, to come and intercede for her daughter Can you get the picture here, guys? It's quite, this story is quite remarkable. So why did she do this? The truth is that when her daughter became filled with the devil, she discovered that she had no help from what she believed and everything she believed and everything she had based her life in. She realized couldn't help her. Now, doesn't that remind you of us? When we came to know the Lord, we turned our backs on everything we believed in. I know I grew up, and I'm not in any way criticizing, but I grew up in the Greek Orthodox belief, okay, where we followed certain religious principles, okay? We did certain things. We followed certain things we were told to do. But I can tell you, I grew up into a certain age. I didn't know Jesus Christ. But when the time came for me to cry out to God, I had to know the one true God. And I had to be willing to turn my back on everything else I'd believed in, based my life on, and to be able to cry out to Him. And then things changed in my life. Even in Ephesians 2:12, we're told that we were not friends of God in the times before we came to know Him. Okay, it actually calls us the enemies of God until the time that we came to know Him because of the sin in our lives. We had no right to be able to draw near to God, just as this Canaanite woman had no right to draw near to Jesus Christ. Even though she came calling Him Lord, they didn't see her as having a right. Do you understand that difference? But we had no right. And so God sent His Son into the world to give us a hope and a future. Okay. So we came to that day of utter desperation, and we turned to the Lord. So here is a mother for who, for the sake of her child, she makes her case very known. She makes it her own and very known. She's willing to turn her back on everything she knows to receive healing. I could give you various illustrations of this. I actually thought of going online and looking for various illustrations that would help you understand this, but I know I don't have to, because I know that a lot of you find yourselves in that position even right now, that you have a burden, something in your heart, something in your life, be it your children, be it your finance, be it your health. I know that you have a burden, and so you understand what you would be willing to do to bring that burden to Jesus Christ, or to bring that burden to someone who can bring you relief, someone who can answer those prayers. I know that each and every one of you find yourselves in that position, even this very minute. So I just wanted to give you an idea of what this woman faced, all right? But to make things worse, she comes from this Canaanite background. She's an outsider. She's all these things. Has to turn her back. So she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does she face? She has to face the fact of rejection. Because if you turn with me, go to the scripture, verse 23. Here she comes to Jesus, and she pours out her heart, and she says, Lord, help me. And He says, 23, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. So she's poured out her heart and soul to the Lord, and He just gives her no reply. So here she faced complete rejection. Okay, I don't know how many of you sometimes go to, I know that if you've spent time in prayer, you know this feeling of having gone to the altar, but it feels like heaven's closed. It feels like no one's there. I know that sometimes that's what we feel like. We go to the altar and we just feel like it's like brass. Okay, she, you know, to have even said no to her might have been a better thing, but he has no reply for her. He just ignores her. Now, I want to encourage you, because there's encouragement in this, okay? I'm just going to draw the picture, but then I'm going to tell you there is encouragement. So she pours out her heart. There's a quote here from John MacArthur. He writes, the hardest response to accept is no response at all. In case of this woman, the word has no word. The fountain is sealed. The physician holds back his remedy. It's quite heavy. I've got a little story just to... I know most of you have heard the story of little Leroy. Does anyone know the story of little Leroy? Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Okay, little Leroy strolled into the kitchen where his mother was making dinner. His sixth birthday was coming up, and he thought it was a good time to tell her what he wanted. So, Mom, I want a bike for my birthday. because Leroy was often getting into trouble at school, church, and at home. She suggested that he write a letter to God and tell him why he thought he deserved a bike for his birthday. Has anyone heard this? Okay, you can hear it again. Little Leroy wrote, "Dear God, I have been a very good boy this year, and I would like a bike for my birthday. I want a red one. Signed, your friend Leroy." A week went by, but Leroy got no answer because there was no bike. So he tore up the first letter, and then he wrote another one. He says, "Dear God, I have been an okay boy this year. I still would like a red bike for my birthday. Your friend Leroy." Another week went by, still no answer, and no red bike. Leroy tore up the previous letter and wrote another one. "Dear God, I know I haven't been a very good boy this year. I am very sorry. I will be good boy for you if you just send me a red bike. Thanks, Leroy." So another week went by and still no answer. By this time, he was very upset. He walked down the street to the church on the corner. He slowly opened the door and crept down the altar. He looked around to make sure that no one was watching, and then he picked up a small statue of Mary. He slipped it under his coat and ran out the door, down the street and into the house, up to his room. He shut the door behind him and sat down with a piece of paper and wrote his final letter. "Dear God, I've got your mama. If you want to see her again, send the red bike now. Signed, you know who." I don't suggest that you use this tactic. It's not what I'm suggesting, hear me. But it's a really good. And sometimes it feels like that. It feels like we're just putting out the petitions out there, but nothing's getting through. So that's what this woman experienced with a no answer. But it gets worse. Okay, I'm going to take you back to the story. She's here and she's wailing. All right. Now, the Greeks of that time, I did some reading, they were quite sophisticated, considered sort of very sophisticated. For her to be wailing like this was not done. Okay. But the disciples, seeing this, beg Jesus to get rid of her. So here she's been rejected, but now there's this fear of being removed from the presence of the Lord. So if you read with me in 23, it says, "Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging." It's like the wailing had got on that very last nerve, and they were saying, "Jesus," now reading this, I know what you're probably thinking. They sound terribly heartless. And you know what? They probably were being allowed to feel like that, because I think Jesus had that plan all along. I think he was trying to show them something. The Greek word there as well, where they say they urged her, they begged him to, there's also a Greek word for eratao, which is a guess, "we entreat you." Like, had enough, "we entreat you, get rid of her." So here this woman has come, putting it all on the line, but she is willing to face it. Why? Because she has a burden. She has a burden for her child. How many of us often, we take our prayer. Now guys, I just want to explain something to you. This is not a recipe for getting your prayers answered. Okay, this is an aspect of what goes wrong. I just want to point that out to you. Okay, this is not, I'm telling you, do this and it's guaranteed. I'm telling you that this is a very real revelation of what goes on in our prayer life. So she comes and now they're going, she actually stands the chance of being physically removed from the Lord's presence. I mean, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you come to the Lord and you're vulnerable before him, and then everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Everything that can discourage you more starts to happen around you. Just when you come to the Lord and you're there at the altar, you know, I'm going to bring an example of my own life. As you all know, I've been waiting for a child for quite a few years. And, you know, it's like almost like you go to the Lord, you know his will. You know his will, okay? You pray his will. You know his faithfulness. You know his goodness, Okay, you bring it all to him. But sometimes it feels like he's not hearing. Sometimes it feels like it's never going to happen. Sometimes it feels like everything that can come against you, all the physical, will tell you it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Just when you think it can't get worse, it does. Then you suddenly, like everything goes wrong with your body, you suddenly just start to being discouraged even more. That's what's happening to this woman. You know, against all odds, she's come. Against all odds, she's put up her reputation and everything else. But more than that, now she's trying to be discouraged. See, Satan comes to do that to us. He comes to tell you your father doesn't love you. He's not listening to you. It's not going to happen. Okay, and that's what's happening to her. But, you know, the secret is not to quit. The secret's not to give up. The secret's not to get bitter. The secret is not to find into your, to get angry or to find yourself in a position of strife. What does she do? Now, this is where the victory comes in. Okay, I need you to understand what she was representing. But look what she does do. Okay. A bold mother's determination. Alexander McLaren is a quote I found online. He says, "Great faith does not give up, period. It is not deferred by obstacles, setbacks, disappointments, or circumstances. Great faith persists, perseveres, and pushes on." So she's down to her last resort. And what does she do? 25 says, "But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, 'Lord, help me.'" Instead of getting her back up. How many of you, let's be honest here, okay, guys. How many of you heard the story the first time and thought, "Whoa, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God?" Be honest. How many of you, I mean, I was ready to get my back up. Honest. Okay, this woman gets ignored, gets shunned. It gets worse though. Okay. She came and worshipped. You know, the word there that they use for worship is another Greek word, and it's proskino. And what's strange about it, it's like, okay, we'll get to that. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Okay. I wanted to jump ahead, but I won't. But she's not deterred. The woman here is not deterred. So she would not be deterred. She would not be delayed. She would not be denied. She was undaunted, unmoved, and unshaken. We get the idea that they could try to keep her quiet, but she would cry out even louder, "Lord, help me." Okay, that was her response. So here's a woman who is willing to position, the position she was willing to assume. This is where I want to tell you about it. The Greek word there is proskino, she worshipped. And that worship, that word for worship is like almost on your face. And if you go now, it goes a step further and he says, so Jesus, the disciples are asking Jesus to remove her, but he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So now it's sounding even worse, okay? So that statement, again, is what sparks a lot of people's, like, Jesus is denying all the Gentiles. But let me just give you again and a background, okay? At this point in Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was here for Israel. He says, he was focusing on his initial ministry. His initial ministry, okay. Do you guys know what the Israelites were called to? Do you know what the promise was? Do you know why they were the chosen people? Do you know what they were chosen for? Okay, if anyone knows, shake your head, do anything. Okay. It's exactly right. Exactly right. The Israelites were actually called to bring the gospel to the people that surrounded them. They weren't called to be enemies of the people. They were called to serve the people. But you see, what happened was they became puffed up. They became arrogant. They became, "We are the chosen." What they were chosen for was to serve. They were called to be servants, a chosen generation of servants. That's what they were called to. And when Jesus came, he came to his people. Bible says his people turned him away. But at this point, you know, he was rejected by his own. But at this point, he was still coming for his own. Okay, do you follow that? So that's what he was actually saying here. He was just explaining to her, but it wasn't the time for the Gentiles. Although he was in Gentile territory. Jesus, do you understand that, guys? Please understand that. It's very important to understand the heart of God is for all of us. He died for each and every one of us. And when he hung on that cross, he thought of that woman. Okay, but at this point, all he was saying to her was, I've come for the Israelites. Now, another point, because he goes on to call her a dog. Okay, that in itself, in this day and age, would offend each and every one of us. Okay, but at the time, the Israelites, again in their puffed up arrogance possibly, called themselves the children of God, and the others were the dogs. Okay, and the word dogs that the Hebrew uses is not a very nice word. It's actually like a scavenger dog. Okay, but the word that Jesus used to describe it is not even a scavenger dog. It's a pet. He uses, there's a word for it, if I could find it in my notes because I've totally lost my place. Okay, well, the word is, it's the word for a pet, okay, a domestic dog. So that's what he calls her here. All right, let me find my notes so that we can actually get back on track. Anyway, in verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Okay? So he's saying, woman, it is not proper, fit for me to take what belongs to the Jewish children and cast it to their Gentile dogs. And this is her answer. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, for this mother to get what she wanted for her daughter, she was willing to assume the position of the dog. Okay, this is the actual crux of this message. lost along the way a little bit. Humility. Arrogance and pride have been thrown out the window. She has faced rejection, ridicule, and reproach. She has dealt with silence, slander, and shame. But if that what it took for her daughter to get what she needed, then this mother thought it was worth it. J. Oswald Sanders says it like this: nothing is more distasteful to God than self-conceit. This first and fundamental sin aims at enthroning self at the expense of God. Pride is a sin of whose presence its victim is least conscious. That is so true. If we are honest, when we measure ourselves by the life of our Lord Jesus, who humbled himself even to death on a cross, we cannot but be overwhelmed with the tawdriness, shabbiness, and vileness of our hearts. Harsh. Pride does not bring us closer to God. It drives us away from God. As long as we allow pride to steer our course, we will never be driven to see how needy we really are. Okay, pride keeps us from admitting our weaknesses and wrongs. Pride keeps us from falling down before God in sheer desperation and despair. Pride keeps us from a bowed head, bent knee, and broken heart. Pride is a roof that blocks God's blessing and a robber that steals God's bounty. Pride would have never done what this woman did. As soon as it was rejected, it would have been out of there. Okay, however, this woman was desperate. She was desperate for the provision. She was willing to accept. You see, how many of us are also so often willing to go to God with a request? We're so willing to go to him with a need, this burden. But we only want it back on our terms. We want what we want from God. So we go to him with a proud heart, an arrogant heart, and we go to him with our terms. She was willing to accept it on any terms. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She was willing to settle from the crumbs. Who of you know that even a crumb from the table of Jesus Christ is more than enough to take care of every need? Okay, so she was willing to take that crumb. So as a result, he says to a woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Spurgeon said, the Lord of glory surrendered to faith, to the faith of the woman. She kept asking until she received. She kept seeking until she found. She kept knocking until the door was opened. Here's a mother who is out of options. She has turned her back on her gods, her people. She has placed her faith in the only God that can help her. She has confronted the one obstacle after another and ultimately referred to as a dog. But in her case, if that's what it took to get what she needed for her daughter, then so be it. If I understand the Bible, that is how every one of us who expects help must come to Jesus. Honestly, humbly, desperately, determinedly, and willingly, wholeheartedly laying aside all self-righteousness, making no claim to entitlement, and making no demands. That type of desperation causes God to say, "Great is thy faith." I want to give you an illustration. Who of you know Max? Okay, for those that don't know Max, Max is our golden child. He is a Yorkshire Terrier. He thinks he's a Doberman. In our home, he pretty much is in charge, other than, me from time to time. No, I'm kidding. Since my parents are here, he's even more spoiled than he was before. Okay. We pretty much take really good care of Max. He's got a little funky jersey. He's got his own basket. He's got his blanket. He's a well-taken care of dog. Okay. But he's a dog. He's a pet. Okay. We try to buy him the best food. We buy him good nutritious food. His bowl's always full. Max never really goes hungry. If he does, though, I don't think you'll find him scavenging in the streets. He usually knows where to go, okay? At dinner time, when we sit to eat, Max is usually under the table, begging. Okay, his bowl is full, but he's under the table begging. Because he knows that even one little scrap from our plate is better than his. Okay, it's an illustration to show you this woman's understanding of coming to the table of the Lord. She's put her heart out. She's counted the cost, and she's come to the table of the Lord. Now, this is an encouraging word. It's a word that helps us to understand the heart of God a bit better, but it's also to understand our attitude. Let me tell you how I came about this message. A couple of weeks ago, I came across this, and I was blown away. I was thinking, like, wow, Lord, check this woman's attitude. You know, I mean, this woman was incredible. You know, she actually came to you, and this was her attitude. And I'm going to talk about attitude, Lord. So I made some notes, and I thought, wow, this is such a good sermon. Obviously, you know what happens when you start preaching? Every word is a sermon. Everything the Lord gives for you, suddenly, oh, they need to hear this. Okay, so, yeah, check. So time went by, and my parents came from Johannesburg, and I was starting to prepare for the sermon, and my heart started to get, I started to think, I need a good word, like a hectic word. It's going to blow them away. I want them, you know, like, okay, wrong heart. My parents are going to be there watching me preach for the first time. I've got to, like, they've got to be impressed. Okay. I hope you're impressed, Mom and Dad. No, seriously. My heart was wrong. So what happened? I got seriously blocked. I suddenly, honestly, I had about 10 different sermons I could have preached on, and I just suddenly had, but I couldn't come to, what was the Lord saying? It was almost like I couldn't hear God. Do you know what I mean? I had a bunch of good ideas, but I couldn't hear God's heart. Lord, what are you trying to say to your children? So I came to the office, and I'd been like running around, trying to work on a sermon. Came to the office, and Andre was here. So he was standing in the kitchen making tea, and I grabbed his hand, and I put it on my head. I said, "Andre, pray, I'm blocked." So he closed his eyes, he prayed for a second. It was a very short prayer. And then he looked at me and he said, "Kat, I don't know how to say this, but I just got one word for you, pride." So I just looked at him and smiled and said, "Thanks, Andre. I just saw flowers." But anyway, okay. So off I went. And so I knew this was time for reckoning. This was time for the Lord's time, you know. So I went to my room and I just got on my knees and I just started to pray. And I got on my face. And I was like, "Lord, my heart's been disgusting. You know, these are your children." And you know, He is so faithful. God is so good. He just gave me such a clear understanding. He just said to me, "Kat, it's Mother's Day. And you don't have physical children, but these are your children. You know, feed your children nutritious food. You know, your kids don't care to be impressed with fancy food, although they'd like it. It's not always good for them. You know, and he gave me to understand that if I cared for you, I wouldn't care about my own self. Mothers die to themselves. That's what mothers do the day they give birth. They die to themselves, you know. And so he gave me to understand that a heart of pride doesn't seek the Lord's, doesn't seek your best interest. Doesn't, when I go to the Lord, if I go to him with my interests at heart, then I go to him with pride and arrogance. But if I go to him with your interests, if I go to him seeking for you, then he gave me food for you. Do you know what I mean? He gave me to understand, firstly, my heart of pride. You know, I wanted it, but on my terms. And then he also gave me an understanding of what it takes to go before the Lord. Now, as I said before, this is definitely not a... Lucille teaches on... I highly advise you to go and download Lucille's latest teaching. What was it called? Let me just see. The Voice. You can go to shofaronline.org and download Lucille's latest message. It's called The Voice, okay? And it's really good. It's about why we don't get answered to prayer, okay? Again, just touching on it, that's not an all-encompassing preach, but and it talks about positioning yourself, hearing from God, praying for others. It talks about all those things. So I do encourage you to go and download that message, okay? But what I wanted to say with this was, oh, this is another story I came across. Now, please listen to this, okay? While I came this just made me bawl. It's about a woman who went to her neighbor's produce stand, like we would go to David's market. So say we're pretending we're going to David, right? He's our neighbor, and we're going to the market on Sunday, okay? But this woman goes to buy olives from David, and she's standing there, and all the other people are in front of her in the queue. And David's seen to each and every one of them very nicely, and he's making sure they don't wait very long, and he sees to them quickly, and off they go, and very happy with their purchase. And so she's standing there, and she's waiting in the queue very patiently. But having waited for quite a while, she gets to the front of the line, and David sees her, and his face brightens up, and he says to her, wait one moment. And then he runs off, and he just leaves her there waiting. And she's thinking to herself, it's so rude. Just because David knows me, now I'm such a wait. Didn't make anybody else wait. Didn't, just run off when anybody else came. He saw to them. Yeah, he's making me wait. Okay, listen to this. So her smoldering anger was doused, however, by the farmer's explanation that he returned with a basket full of his best olives. He said, I know I kept you waiting, but I needed the time to get you the very best. Isn't that just amazing? Do you guys get that? So wherever you're at in your waiting, whatever your request has been, whatever your burden has been, I know that there are those of you in the service that are experiencing burden even for your children or for your finances or for your health. I know that there is a burden. But you know, the Lord has his very best for you. His heart is for you. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:8-11, he says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? There's an old hymn that says, Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. You are coming to a king. This morning, I'd like you to stand with me. Joe, could you come back? Could you stand with me this morning? gospel message of encouragement, but the heart of it is truth. Whatever your burden, you bring it to the King. Do not be afraid to ask, no matter how great, no matter how impossible, no matter how unseeming the circumstances around you. Do not stop asking. Do not stop wailing. Do not stand back and allow the world to tell you that you need to be ashamed, that your reputation matters more. People, we are dead to ourselves. The Bible says, come and die. How do you die? You start to live your life out for Jesus Christ. That's how you die. So this morning, whatever your burden, I ask you to bring it to the cross. I ask you to bring it here. This day, we're going to agree together. We're going to wail together. Put shame aside. Put your shame. There's no shame. There's no shame. Jesus counted it. He counted it a blessing as he went towards that cross. He said it was joy. He went to that cross thinking of you, each and every one of you. He considers you his child. You're not a dog. But you know, even a crumb from his table will be more than suffice. Don't stop asking. Don't allow your heart to be hardened. Don't stop asking. Don't get stiff-necked. Don't get proud. Don't be ashamed. Okay, as we bow our heads this morning, the ability to stay there at the altar, patiently waiting on the Lord. If you find yourself in a place where you're believing the enemy's lies, that he doesn't care, or that he's not listening, or that he didn't come for you, I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. He came for you and each and every one of you. Each and every one of you is what he came for. So I'd like us to take a chance this morning to minister to your needs, to minister into that area. If you feel like you're struggling with pride, guys, be honest with yourself that, you know, like it said, you know, pride is the one sin that you don't see because you've got pride. Morning, I want you to take a moment, come before the Lord, and just bring him your heart. Bring him everything and lay it down. Do not worry about the people around you, the people next to you. Gerard, can you come up too? So as we're going to sing the song of worship, I want you to seek your heart. Bring your heart before the Lord. Lay it down this morning. Guys, if you have to get on your knees, if you have to come and get up here in the front, if you do it wherever you're at, get in front of God. Okay? Bring your heart to him and show, and let him just show you. Bring the need that you have in your heart and just present it at the altar. Don't be ashamed to wail if you must wail. But as we sing this song, I pray that you would just allow the Lord to show you what he needs to deal with in your life. Thank you, Lord. For your hope and your future, please, please come forward to pray. Do not leave this place if you have never given your life to the Lord, if you've never, never brought him everything you are. Spirit of the Most High God, I thank you that you are faithful even when we are not, Lord. Lord, this morning we come to you, we bring before you, Lord, our burdens, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we call out to you, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, have mercy on us. forgotten. Lord, you have your very best for us. You have your hearts set on us, Lord. Your promises are true. So this morning, Lord, as we go, as we go to honor our mothers today, Lord, as we go to be with our families today, as we go to spend time with you today, Lord, I thank you that you will give us an understanding, Lord, of your ways. Lord, forgive us our hardened hearts, forgive us stiff-neckedness, Lord, forgive us our pride, forgive us, Lord God. We come to you in all humility this morning, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we thank you that you will shed your love into our hearts, Lord, for one another, for the people that are lost. Lord, that you would give us an outward focus, you would give us an idea of your desires, Lord. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, Lord God, would sow seed, Lord. Even where I went wrong, Lord, you would go right. I just thank you for your children that are so loved of you, God. These beautiful people, these children of yours, Lord. I thank you that they are experiencing your love even now, Lord. And as they go, Lord, that they would know they go with your blessing. Love to